Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us today, both myself and my co-host here, Pat. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself, and we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. Actually, we come not just the weekends, we come anytime because podcasts and...
I think everyone actually understands how the podcasts work now, Scott.
You think so?
Yes.
All right. I think everyone understands how they work.
Not everyone. I think that's an exaggeration.
In any case, we are still broadcast on old school radio.
Terrestrial radio and available to you on your favorite podcast device.
For 99% of you, that's the iPhone.
But it can be other things.
Yeah. Anyway, Pat and I have been practicing financial advisors for almost three decades. Helping people as they transition to retirement and helping people save for retirement. And
we've seen a lot of different things.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, the firm, first of all, the firm itself has thousands and thousands of clients.
That's right.
So the interesting things or the unique things percolate up to us through the organization.
The bizarre stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, have you seen this before?
Yeah.
In fact, I was just in the office, and an advisor asked me to step into a meeting with a client. He said, "Does this sound right? This, and the fees on the account charged by a big bank, you know, and if it was it was a big bank's trust company, it's a bank of something, you know, the United States, something like that. It was a bank of, and it was 3.5%. 3.5%." And the lady asked, "Is this normal?" Like, no, it's not. It's not. And that was just, that was one of the most egregious things I've seen in the last 6 months.
Well, and she didn't know.
She
until
didn't
she
know.
She came in and talked to an advisor.
That's
and
one of the things, right.
There are, obviously, we are biased with our firm. There are great financial advisors out there. Part of the reason we've been doing this radio program, Hanson McLean's Money Matters, for 23 years, is to provide education so that people are more informed. Not that everyone enjoys this stuff. We get it. A lot of people, dealing with their money is kind of a necessary part of life. That's not their favorite. They'd much rather do a lot of other things. Totally understand that. But it's important that people are at least educated enough to know, like this woman, is 3.5% high or low?
That's a good, it was a good question, right? Because...
And it's probably something else was going wrong that she's... Like,
that's not why she came in.
Right.
But when we checked on the numbers, we're like, is this right? But yeah, it's education. And that's why we always promote our website, HansonMcLean.com, because we fill it with educational biased. I mean, biased. We're biased towards fee-based advisors.
Well, we try to make things somewhat simple and easy to understand. That's what this program's about. We want to empower people to make wise choices.
We're biased for fee-based advisors versus large commission.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, to say that we're anything, large commission, people that create all up front, esoteric products.
In fact, it's interesting. Merrill Lynch, and I'm not going to necessarily pick on the firm. Merrill Lynch, there's no doubt
about
it.
Who owns Merrill Lynch?
Bank of America.
Wow, twice in one show.
Merrill Lynch is owned by Merrill Lynch Advisors. There's some great advisors. And there's probably some not so great advisors, right?
Yes.
So there are some advisors that would take a bullet for their clients, that truly love their clients, serve their clients,
do
put
a
their
great
clients'
job
interest
for,
first.
Do a great job for their for yeah. their clients.
Knowing they're in an environment that is not always the easiest because sometimes the company puts on certain quotas like you have to refer around a certain amount of loans to us each year. You have to do a certain amount of margin accounts with us. You have to do et cetera.
Yes.
But then there are other ones, you know, not. But the challenge in those commission-based environments, when you've got that it just creates a challenge. So to your point, we are biased with independent registered investment advisory firms. Firms like, frankly, Hanson McLean, which we're part of. But there's other great firms out there as well that are also fee-based advisory
firms. It's how the company, you want your, how you're paying your advisor and your, how they're getting paid and your objectives aligned as closely as possible.
As closely as possible, right. As you know, the show, we often take calls and answer questions coming from you, our listeners. And if you'd like to be part of the program, if you'd like to run a question by us, perhaps you are wondering if you've got the right kind of strategy in place or the right kind of investment mix, or maybe someone's recommending some sort of investment product and you're trying to figure out if it's right for you. Whatever the case, 1-888-2-HANSEN is the contact number to join us. Again, that phone number is 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. And any one of those will get you on the program here. And let's start off in Northern California, talking with Marcy. Marcy, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Marcy. We're great.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad you're calling. Thanks.
So listen, I am 57-year-old female. I'm single. And I just was wondering if you could help me with a couple of portfolio questions to make sure I'm on the right page here as I'm trying to wind down my work.
All right.
So I'm currently, I retired from one position, whereas I get already $4,500 a month income. I will be retiring from the second place, where I will get an income of $1,700 also. In addition to that, I get full medical benefits.
First off, I'm thinking, why are you calling us? Sounds like your strategy is working out great. You got one pension of $4,500, another pension of $1,700. What, you said you're 57?
Yeah. And single. You advertise that very long.
Watch out.
Yeah, because there's lots of guys out there that are looking for a nurse and a purse.
Well, that's not me. So, listen, I got this money for a reason.
There we go.
Nurse and a purse.
They're looking. Terrible. Lots of guys out there.
I'm getting my money, right?
That's right. The thing about your money is the operative word is yours. Try to keep it that way.
So we're just joking around with you.
$4,517. So you retired from either the state or county, and then you went back to work for another municipality of some sort and got another pension, something along those lines?
Yes, and I'm not finished working because I really love my profession. So my question is, I have only about $600,000 in Fidelity 2020 and 2025 funds, you know, which are still sitting there. Of course, I haven't touched them.
And that's your 401k? Is that your 401k or deferred comp plan?
Got it. Sure. And they're doing pretty good. You know, I don't touch them when the market goes down and what have you. I try to be good and diligent and leave them where they are. The other thing that I've kind of added to my portfolio is I have an investment property, which is I get about $4,100 a month rental income on, but it's a huge upkeep because it's up in the mountains. Okay, mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of upkeep with that, right? But
do you have a lot of income? Do you have a loan on that property?
Yeah, I have a loan. It's worth $1.5 million, and I have a loan on there of $360,000.
And did you buy that primarily for a part-time vacation home for yourself that you rent out, or is it purely for investment?
No, it was a gift.
Okay.
Okay. A gift or inherited?
A gift.
Okay.
For my dad.
Okay, and do you know the basis in it? What your dad's basis in was in it?
Yeah, it was about $600,000.
No, that's what it was worth when you got it, or that's what it was worth when he bought it?
That's what it was worth when I got it.
Okay, so that's not the same basis. Right. But anyway, we'll keep going.
Okay, so, and then on top of that, I have a house that's worth about $650,000, and I owe $55,000 on it.
Okay, how much money do you have in the bank?
About $80,000.
Okay.
And so if you told me, so right now I'm thinking like, you're in great shape financially, unless you said I make $400,000 a year and I've been spending every penny, then we think there's a problem. But what's your ballpark income?
$225,000 a year.
And how much of that is going into a 401k? Are you maximize
not
that?
A lot.
Okay.
Honestly, not a lot.
Okay. So what's your question for us?
My question is, I feel like I'm kind of all over the map here with my money. I mean, if I leave this job, which I want to, and I would like to go to a different kind of job, which is going to not be as, I'll probably only get about $150,000 for the kind of job uh-huh. that I want to do, but it's a more fun job okay. in the line of work that I am. Will I be able to be sustainable? Because I know you both have said that you want to have your house paid off. That's yeah. really
your house off. Is your house is paid off, but
relative,
yeah, to the amount you have in the bank.
Okay, so that's one thing, and then this rental property that has a loan on it that I'm going to, you know, keep a loan on. I mean, that's the way to do it, right? Shouldn't I just keep that going as
so,
it is?
So I'll give you a quick overview, and then you might want to sit down with a qualified advisor. One question before I do that. The new job that you're going into, will you get a pension on the new job as well?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
All right. I doubt it, no.
Okay. All right. So so we'll just go from top to bottom. Those pensions are great. Mm-hmm. And are you honestly eligible for Social Security?
No.
Okay.
I'm 57.
No. Will you be eligible at Social Security? Do you pay into Social Security?
Oh, yeah. I paid into Social Security okay. for 28 okay. years.
Okay. All right. So here we go. So financially, you're fine, right?
Have you had times where you haven't participated in Social Security?
Yes, for the past 5.5 years.
But she's going to go into a non-public sector job again, Scott.
Okay, so there'll be some offset, but not a ton.
So your Fidelity 20 and 25 are not the right portfolios for you, just flat out. They're much too conservative.
Yeah.
Much too conservative in light of
your other income.
Your other income you have. Absolutely the wrong thing. Just no question.
Okay.
I'm not even going to spend any time on that. This investment property. And the thing for the amount of money that you're actually, if you're getting $4,100 a month, which is almost $50,000 a year in income from it.
On a $1.5 million.
On a $1.5 million.
Not a great yield.
Yeah. And you're actually then paying down the loan. And you had mentioned that it's in the mountains, so we'll have a higher up yield. It's a terrible investment. I know it's done well. I know it's appreciated a lot, but you would have been better off buying two or three.
Unless this is a place that you love to go to. You're probably better off exchanging that either for a few different rentals or looking at some entire, but you can do a tax-free exchange into
four different
rentals.
Yeah. So
that have much greater yield, much greater yield.
So your father may have actually given it to you, gifted it, and it might've been a special place for him or your family.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
the way you said that. So it's like you can't get. So is any discussion on that off the table?
Well, here's the thing. There is an additional space below the house, which is about 750 square feet. I'm in the process of looking at the permit fees and how much it's going to cost me because I can put a second unit in.
It still won't. It won't change it by much. The returns.
It'll not mean about another
$1,700.
But I mean, you could buy three or four homes in Nevada, Idaho, Oregon, get 2.5 times the yield you're getting right now.
Correct. And every
maybe
bit
more.
As much appreciation and upside as
maybe,
you have with there.
Maybe more potential.
Yeah. So that I would revisit. I mean, absolutely would revisit. I'd probably take the $80,000 out of the bank and pay off the loan immediately on the house.
Okay.
All right. And then just stay single forever and you'll be fine.
Right.
No, in all seriousness, if you quit your job tomorrow and went for a job at $150,000, you'd be fine.
Absolutely fine. More than fine.
Not only that, frankly, the personal enjoyment you get at, if you're in a job now that's, you're at a point where you're thinking, this is a lot of stress and this is just more than I feel like doing. Boy, there's this other thing I could do that sounds a lot more enjoyable. Because of the financial situation you're in now, you are in a very secure financial position. I would say pursue what sounds the most fun first, with salary second.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And when you rebalance,
we don't say that to everybody because some people's like, look, I know
you need the money, but you don't have to go back to another day of work ever again.
I mean, I see, for me, I don't think, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm out in left field, but to me, you know, $4,500 and $1,700, two pensions and my full medical isn't that much money.
Okay.
Every month. Is that a lot?
No. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's all, I mean,
yeah, your house is paid for. You essentially will pay down the home. You have Social Security coming in a couple of years. You have $600,000 in an IRA. You're wealthy, Marcy.
And a paid off home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely, you're like the top 1% of retirees.
Really?
Yes, really. Yeah, really. At 57.
Okay.
So go back to work, take a job at 100. Go get a job at the 7-Eleven. Do whatever you want.
Do something really fun. I mean, I have a lot of really fun things I'd like to go do. I have a great profession, and you know,
you don't, Marcy. You don't. So
yeah,
you don't need to worry about your retirement anymore. If that's what this is about, if you're like, do I need to make the right career move because of my retirement? I would say forget that. You don't need to worry about your retirement anymore. It sounds like you're not dying to quit working and sit around all day. You want to keep working, so that's just going to be better for your finances.
You're fine. So it would make sense for you to reallocate that 401k and 457. You may want to roll part of that 401k over for professional management, although you may not want to because of your age at 57. You may want to leave part of the deferred comp there. I mean, those are decisions that you and an advisor should go through together. But the portfolio is not the correct one.
Yeah, because with the 2020, it's like you're going to be spending it in two years. Not.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's and
yeah, because
bond now.
I have more time to work or what have you.
Yeah,
right. I mean, it's pretty conservative.
Oh, it's way too conservative for your situation.
If you said that if you had no other money saved up and were planning on taking a large income in 2020, then maybe it's the appropriate, but yeah, that's not your situation.
And then I would, and like I said before, we'd revisit that investment property.
If you can.
If you
there's
can.
Family dynamics there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you can't, then you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, there's
right
family
now.
Dynamics there. I don't know if I can do that at this time, but my question is that thing is a lot of upkeep. I'm just afraid if I'm not making the kind of money that I make now, you know, and fighting, you know.
Yeah, so wait, so there. Yeah, well, so that's something that you should look at, where we're actually worried about our ability. We can have the ability to retire, but now we're just worried about it because we might have to put more money into an investment. It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy.
Right?
Yeah, so other than the family.
How much is your dad married to this place?
Yes.
You know, it sits on a beautiful lake.
Does he use it a lot?
I don't use it a whole lot.
No, does he?
I'd like to if I had some time. Oh, no, he never goes.
Okay,
you would be like, you could take it. Invest vacation properties are by and large horrible investments. They really are.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. When you look at the alternatives, where else you can invest those dollars?
Yeah. When you look at the alternatives, people think they do great because they appreciate
1.5 million. You can buy 4 modest homes in many nice growing communities around the United States and have rentals. Have a couple $1,000 a piece.
Yeah.
$2,500, $3,000 a month for three or four of them. You should be able to get $9,000 or $10,000 a month in revenue off that and a rental property.
I know. Wouldn't that be great? That's what I'm thinking.
With very little upkeep.
So. Yeah, you go buy stucco homes and
homes that are less than 10 years old that have small properties.
Stucco
small,
homes.
No pool or
anything. Clay roof, composite roofs, no swimming pools.
There's almost no upkeep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So listen, how much does the average person that puts in the highest amount of money they can in Social Security, does the average person at 62 get about?
Oh, you'll probably, well, no, oh, no, yours will probably be,
she might have some
gap,
offset.
You might have a little bit of offset. I'm going to guess low side, $1,100, $1,200 a month. Scott?
Yeah, it's 62, yeah.
It's 62.
With offset, most likely.
So what happens if I die and I'm, you know, don't have and I'm not married or whatever, does all that money go away or do my kids get it?
Which money?
This is the Social Security.
Yeah, oh, no, it's gone. It's gone.
If you live to 105, it keeps going past then. Yeah. So that's how it works. Hey, Marcy, we got to run.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, congrats. It sounds like you're in good shape. Yeah. And go do what you love to do. We don't say that to everybody. You're in a position, do what you love to do, and you're not going to retire for another 10 or 20 years, I bet, if you're doing what you love.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, guys.
I can just tell.
Really appreciate your time.
Oh, all right.
No worries.
Wish you well. 1-800-2, I'm sorry, 1-888-2-HANSEN is the contact number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON to join the show.
We got to, that lady just wore me out, man.
What do you mean?
She had a lot of energy, had too much energy.
That's right.
She was bouncing all over the place. She was bouncing all over the place.
You can tell why she earns a high income. She just comes through.
Yeah, she just
plows through everything. That's where we're going. Work for us.
Why is he called Hurricane Marcy? I don't get it.
All right, 1-888-2-HANSON's the number. We're in Sacramento with Sam. Sam, you're with Hanson McLean.
It's a beautiful day down in Sacramento today. Yeah, about 81.
All beautiful. Right. What so can we do for you?
Hey, you know, I'm 67. I'm a retired military officer and retired federal employee with Social Security and one disability. I net about $13,000 a month, and I was wondering what else I could do with some extra money that I have to, for investment purposes.
Net, so you have cash sitting aside, or you're not spending all your monthly income?
No, I've probably got about $3,000 extra a month now that I want to.
And what's your home worth?
Oh, about $400,000.
And what's, is it paid for?
Yeah, it's almost paid for.
How close to almost?
Well, about 20%.
Okay, so $80,000. And tell us about the rest of your situation.
No, life's good. I'm retired. My wife still works. She's okay. Younger than me. She works. She's a supervisor for the state of California.
Okay.
So our health care is all taken care of. I don't worry about that.
And how long has she been with the state?
Well, she's going to work 3 more years, and it'll give her 20.
Okay, so she's going to retire.
And is the $13,000, is that just from your pensions?
Yeah. Okay. I'm retired military, and like I told you, retired federal government, and then Social Security, and one disability income from the military.
Yeah, so your wife's going to retire at about 45 or so percent of pay, somewhere in there. So 2% right. At 55, yeah. Right?
And when does she plan on retiring?
In 3 years. And she'll be... 58.
Will you still have a $3,000 a month extra in 3 years from now?
Yeah, pretty much.
And if you plan on saving, what do you want these dollars to do for you? What's the plan?
Well, I kind of want to leave more for we have 5 children between us. Mm-hmm. And we're also maxing out we have 8 granddaughters, so they have college 529 accounts that we're putting into.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to max out that.
Okay.
But I don't currently have really anything besides a home to leave for
Got
the
it.
Kids.
And how much do you have in
my federal pensions all go away when I die.
Yeah.
How much do you have in
will your wife have any survivor benefits there?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
On the pensions?
Will
she get any? Oh, she'll get half of the military. Okay.
And how much money do you have in 401(k)s or IRAs or in the bank total?
Well, I don't have any, but I'm maxing out her Roth IRA every year.
And how much does she have at her 401k or 457 at the state?
Is she maxing that?
A quarter of a million.
250,000.
Is she maxing that out?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what.
Go, Scott.
You have your hands lit.
No, I'm just thinking, go. I think you're probably going to say the same thing.
I don't know.
So, well, you go first. And
you're my older brother, and I'd say. One, I'd like the idea of getting the home paid off. If you don't care about that, it's 6-1, half a dozen the other. I also can understand the concept of wanting to have an extra account just growing. I would use a total stock market mutual fund, no load mutual fund, total stock market mutual fund, all stock.
Okay.
Because these aren't dollars you're going to spend in your lifetime. The time horizon on these, and we talked about this a couple shows ago, Pat, the time horizon on these dollars is decades. It's for your kids and grandkids.
But it could be for your wife because your pension drops significantly part of your pension at your death.
But the nice thing about taxes, it's highly tax efficient. It spends off very little in income and capital gains throughout the year. And when you if you hold it until your death, your heirs, either your wife or kids or grandkids, receive it with the cost basis, what you paid for it, stepped up to the fair market value.
Which means it comes on tax-free. Essentially, so right. The only thing I disagree with you, Scott, is I would pay down the mortgage before I started, or I'd put $1,500 a month into the total market, $1,500 extra a month into the mortgage so that we're kind of dollar cost averaging into the market. I wouldn't be giving any of it away. I wouldn't even worry too much about the college 529 plans for the kids, quite frankly, or the grandkids.
If you have enough money set aside.
Yeah, really, really, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
There's 10, like, how many do you have, like, 10?
Money probably feels good about it.
Like, you got 10 of them, right? How many?
It's a lot of accounts to fund.
Eight. And how much are you putting in?
Well, yeah, but I've been very lucky that I'm able to do that. But let me throw out one quick caveat.
Make it quick.
When my wife retires, we're going to sell this house, and then we're just going to do world traveling. So we're going to buy a small condo.
Then don't bother paying off the house.
Yeah, don't bother paying off the house. And you get fun.
Yeah. I prefer not to pay off the house. It's not worth it.
Correct. I agree with Scott. I put it into the total market. I put the $3,000.
You can be aggressive. You have so much fixed income. With these pensions.
So you do recommend the aggressive side?
Absolutely. If you calculated the value of your pensions, you have millions of dollars in essentially bond-type portfolios and fixed income, guaranteed fixed income with cost of living adjustments. Now we're just talking about a few $1,000 a month going into something with growth. I'd use the total stock market index. Sam, we wish you well. Unfortunately, we've got to take a quick break. Clock's ticking away. If you want to be part of the program, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit hansonmclean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are sticking around for more of our fantastic program. At least we find it fantastic. And I must say, Pat, during the break, we were both having a conversation about the nice retirement income people have from state, county, municipality, and federal government jobs.
It's not universal nationwide.
No, that's true.
It's federal. Federal it is, but state, it is not universal. Certain states have much better retirement plans for state and county workers than other states.
So go to state of California. There's many states that have
Illinois,
Wisconsin.
Very
nice pension plans.
Well, they do now.
Talking to, I have three older sisters. My oldest sister is... I think she's 59.
Oh, she'll appreciate you telling everyone that.
She's not listening.
Okay. Doesn't mean you can talk with impunity about people in your life.
I really don't like her. No, I'm kidding. I love my elder sister. But I love all my sisters.
You can't talk with impunity about people on their radio show. But you can. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm just trying to...
So I live in the Sacramento region.
Okay.
Have for... almost 30 years, as you do. And she's in Southern California, and she's kind of trying to figure out, she lives in an area where both the boys are grown and moved away, and she's trying to figure out where, and I was trying to convince her to come up to Sacramento. I said, get a job for the government for 10 years.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
10 years, because she's probably going to, she didn't want to work, retire quite yet. 10 years, you got pension.
Lifetime medical. Yep.
There's many municipalities like that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And matter of fact, if you're in 50s some odd and you're at a time for a career change, it certainly could
make sense for you to go to work for a company or municipality or government that has what's called a defined benefit pension
plan. Monthly pension plan.
And the reason for that is defined benefit pension plans, not cash balance formula, have a tendency to overcompensate an older employer versus a younger employer.
Totally do. There's no question about
Most. It's not universal, but most.
Correct. And a lot of the municipal and state plans, if you're over age 55 or 50 and have 10 years, you're vested for a pension.
Yes. But if you were 35 and you put in 10 years, you're not vested.
You know, it's funny, Pat. I was actually thinking about this. When was I thinking about this? Quite a bit of thought about this. Pension plans, most private companies have done away with these monthly pension plans.
Yes.
And now just have 401ks and maybe have some extra kicker they throw in it. No new companies starting with a monthly pension plan. Work for us for your whole working career. We're going to make sure you're retired.
Yes, that would be a fair statement.
And we read a lot about the negativity on it. But I start thinking...
Oh, about a loss of defined benefit pension plans?
But here's the... But I've also... And I know you have as well, Pat, sat in meetings... with people who hated their jobs.
And they stayed.
But they're 48 years old with 25 years with the company. And they know that once they stay till 55 or whatever the number is, they've got a nice pension. And they, and then they, how many times have you done this, Pat? They come to you and they say, if I, what would I have to make up if I left?
Yes.
And you look at them like, I'll calculate it for you, but
yeah,
it's
how much it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like this last 14 months of your employment, if you leave 14 months early.
Or even like 7 years. I remember doing this for somebody like about a year ago. It was about 7 years. And it was, you're going to need to earn another, like an additional $60,000 a year, essentially. Whatever. It was about double what the person's pay was. I mean, it was an astronomical amount.
And so they stay. And who wins there? The employer doesn't win.
Nobody really wins.
The employee doesn't want to be there. If the employee doesn't want to be there, the employer doesn't want them there. That's just the way it is. If the employee doesn't want to be here, be there at work, the employer shouldn't really want them there.
Well, fortunately, there's none of that at state municipalities.
Well, let's see, none of that. Or let's not single them out. Defined benefit pension plans.
That's
the benefit of a defined contribution plan is that people that don't hit the mark get to take that benefit with them. The downside, right. And a defined contribution is your company 401k or 457 or 403b, whatever it is. If a company put the same amount of money into your defined contribution as they do in your defined benefit plan, and you didn't touch it,
it'd be great.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
If you didn't.
And had the right kind of investment management, because when you have the 401k, you're responsible for your investment management.
So these are other things that we won't be able to solve on this show. You can call with your questions.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah, to join the show, 1-888-2-HANSON is our contact number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go to Austin, Texas, talk with Mark. Mark, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, how are you, sir?
Excellent. Hi, Mark.
Okay, my question.
Alrighty.
I am 62. My wife is 64. Financially, we're in pretty good shape. We have decided to move to Mexico.
All right.
Oh. And you're already in Austin, Texas, where Evelyn from California wants to move to Texas, but
believe me, the city bird now is the crane. We can't do anything. We can't change a tire without a crane.
Oh, in Austin, not in in the city of Austin, not in the state of Texas.
Austin, so,
it's because too many people from California moved to Austin.
I know.
And they made California. So what's your question for us? You're going to move to Mexico.
Okay. We spent $25,000 last year on health insurance and health care and did not reach our deductible.
Okay.
So until we're both on Medicare, we're going to Mexico.
Okay.
My wife's a former nurse. So we own a condominium in a Primo location in Austin. It's not our forever home because it's on the second and third floor of a low-rise condo. And in other words, lots of stairs.
Okay.
So we're going down for probably 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
How long can I hold on to this before I end up having capital gains issues?
Oh, got it. Well, so before we answer this question, I'm going to ask two questions of you. Have you looked at Costa Rica and have you looked at Ecuador?
Yep, both of them.
You have?
We've been to Ecuador. Elevation is too high.
Okay.
My wife collapsed at 8,000 feet.
Okay, well, in Ecuador, you were in Quito then, right?
No, we were at Cuenca.
Okay, got it. Okay,
Quito's at 9,000 feet.
Okay,
by the way, I've worked in 40 different countries, so I've been all over the world.
Okay, all right.
And Costa Rica's just gotten too expensive.
Okay, all right, good enough.
And we are moving to. We've already signed a lease and have moved to Ajijic, which is outside of Guadalajara, which is one of the oldest and largest expat communities in the world.
Oh yes. Wow! It's like Mexico. It's like Austin down south, right?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
And you know, give me an idea. We were down there for 4 months. My wife saw an endocrinologist, a hematologist, a dermatologist, had blood work done, and had her teeth cleaned, and we spent $150.
Yes.
Wow.
And my wife is a former nurse, which means she's a pain in the ass patient.
All right.
And the endocrinologist spent 2 hours with her.
Wow.
And she's had a condition for 25 years and until the ACA came along, no one would touch her. I had to stay employed, even though I didn't need to stay employed. I wanted to go work for myself, and I couldn't buy health insurance for her.
Yeah.
Period.
Wow.
So, you know, we've made the decision to, at least for 3 years, and we chose Ahihi because it's like being an expat on training wheels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can go down there and not.
So with your condo, you have it must be your primary residence for 2 out of the preceding 5 years.
Okay.
So you've 3 years.
Okay. So I'm 62. In about 2.5 years, I turn 65. At that point, we will make the decision on whether to come back. By the way, my premiums next year, if I stay here, just the premiums will be $24,000.
Yeah. So you had to, you need to live in your primary residence at least 2 of the last 5 years before you sell it.
Okay.
So you've got basically 3 years. My question is, what are you waiting for? Why wouldn't you sell it now?
It's interesting. I've had every single realtor I've talked to who says, don't sell.
Why?
Because we're in such a good location that even if things turn south, it won't really go down.
Do you think you're going to return to this property in the next 5 years, any chance? Is that why you want to keep it?
We're going to keep it for 1 year. So if we do want to return, we
can. Okay. All right. And don't believe anyone that tells you that things won't go down. They don't know.
Believe me. I understand.
And when you said every realtor says don't sell, that makes me want to sell. But,
it's interesting because nobody said...
No,
I hate to tell you not to sell because they all want us to go sell it.
Nobody can predict. Here's the thing.
Yes.
Asset prices, whether it's real estate, stocks, gold, doesn't really matter. Nobody can predict what's going to happen tomorrow. And the only thing that's going to change, the only reason that the price will change when there's either some new information, something new happens in the world, or the collective society starts believing that the future may be different or reality is somehow different, right? So... I mean, if you look at the volatility of the stock market recently, like we had nothing for several months and all of a sudden it's all over the map. Like, are things really changing that much on a daily basis? No, of course not. There's actually not even new information. It's just new perceptions, the average investor. So Austin, Texas, who knows? Perhaps you're because you're in such a prime location, that's already priced in. But everyone already expects to be a prime location.
But so the main driver here is that he wants the ability to come back possibly in the next.
Yeah, then you
years.
Don't sell it.
Then you don't sell it. If you said there's absolutely no way
I'm
Scott
never
Path, and I'm coming back, then I'd sell it. And the reason I would sell it is I'd like to lock in the future. I'd like to actually know what it was going to do.
And the danger of selling it if planning on coming back is that you get priced out of the market.
Yeah. So anyway.
Right. No. We're putting just a few things in storage, like our king size bed, and everything else we're getting rid of. This is our second downsizing.
Well, what a great adventure for you! What a great adventure!
Totally.
And so, I'm just moving my business down there.
Yeah, what a great adventure!
And as far as you're not going to have any health insurance or health care in the United States, so you're going to be totally dependent on whatever health care can happen there, regardless of your situation.
In general, the Guadalajara has world-class hospitals because we're 40 minutes from Guadalajara Airport. So, yes, we're going to – all our health care will be down there. My wife will sign up for Medicare third quarter next year.
All right, that's what we wanted to hear. That's what we wanted to hear.
We will it's interesting. There's I'm a recovering engineer.
Okay.
This is a 12-step program for that. And I've been chronicling our whole adventure.
Of course you are, because you're an engineer.
Right. And the interesting one is there is so much emotion around whether you sign up for Medicare, because there are people down there saying, I'm never signing up for Medicare because I'm never returning to the
U.S. Listen, don't – the word –
not very much money. Why wouldn't you sign up for it?
Yeah. And the word
– that's cheap insurance.
And the word never – is a big word. Yes. So in your situation, I would actually look at buying some sort of catastrophe type health insurance.
Even with a $50,000 or $100,000 deductible.
Yeah, at your age.
If those exist.
What we're doing down there is we're buying a $5,000 deductible policy on each of us. it will cost us about $900 a year per person.
You're, well, then you're insuring. And as long as there's as long as the cap on the upside is pretty high, then I think you're fine. And that's the biggest thing I would worry about is the catastrophic. So anyway, have a great adventure. Turn all your expat friends down in Mexico onto our podcast, if you'll be so kind. This is our first attempt at going global is Mark moving to Mexico.
Attempt at going global, yeah. All right, Mark, we
appreciate
wish you
the
well.
Call.
You know, it's interesting, Pat, how this clearly is not the first. We've got clients that live in other parts of the
all over.
Yeah, yeah, all over the place,
yes.
Frankly. And some have moved to retirement and some just are living in other areas. But that medical issue is a big issue. Even if you're totally healthy.
It's a big issue.
Until you're on Medicare.
Yes.
It's a major issue.
You do not want to go uninsured.
You can't.
Yeah, you do not want to go uninsured.
I mean, it's interesting because that's what, in large part, what's driving them somewhere else. Because, what did he say? He spent $25,000 on healthcare last year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Which is one of the reasons it's driving the people. And when we talked about, I asked the question about Costa Rica and Ecuador, a part of what is the appeal to Ecuador is the healthcare.
Yeah. They're supposed to have a good healthcare system,
yeah.
I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, but if I were there, I would want to have some sort of plan that I got some strange, I'm flown back to the United States.
Something's going to.
Right? I mean, if.
I want someone. Yeah.
Something out of the something abnormal.
Yeah, yes, you would want that, but that's you.
That is me. That is true. So, to continue, if you want to like be, if you want to join Hans McLean and have a question for us, probably not moving to Mexico as well. 1-888-2 Hanson, 1-888-2 Hanson. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. And let's go to Dan. Dan, you're with Hans McLean.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Wonderful, Dan.
So, got a few things. I'm going to give you a little background on myself.
Alrighty.
I was disabled in 2002, and my work accommodated me, gave me a golf cart and other things. Then I got hurt in 2015, and when I went back to work, they said they weren't going to accommodate me or my restrictions anymore.
Okay.
So I got an attorney, blah, 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 back and forth. So now I'm disabled again. And in November will be 1 year. And it looks like I won't be fixed by then. And then they can terminate you after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to retire. And I looked into my retirement funds. And in the pension from my work, I have $330,000. And in my 401k, $340,000. So what I wanted to do is roll over the pension into the 401k, and then a 401k into an IRA, so I could pull out the amount of money that I need.
How old are you?
So I'm 61, be 62 in February.
Are you on Social Security disability?
No.
Okay, and I don't quite understand when you talk about this $330,000 in a pension. Are they asking you whether you want to take a monthly pension or a lump sum? Was that ever a question? So that,
I asked them.
What's that?
I asked them what the options are. And it's a lump sum of $330 or $1,282 a month.
Got it. Are you married?
Yes.
And your disability, is it, do you have a normal life expectancy? Do you believe you have a normal life expectancy?
Yeah, my health, I just don't think it's going to be much longer.
Okay. All right. That would be a driver to take the lump sum versus the pension. If you have a shorter life expectancy, the lump sum is better than if you have a longer. The longer the life expectancy, the more someone would lean to the monthly pension. Versus a shorter life expectancy. Who do you owe money to?
Oh, I have a list.
Okay.
I owe $51,000 in credit card debt.
Uh-huh.
And $113,000 in seconds.
Got it. And then what do you owe on your first?
I have two rentals in my house.
So you're going to, here's what you need. You need a financial planner. You need to sit down with a financial planner. That is just flat out. There is, you have to.
And they go through and look at all these various factors. One, what obligations you have now, financial obligations. How do we best structure for those? What's life expectancy likelihood? How do we make sure that we've got enough income for you and your wife today? But what happens if you predecease her, and make sure we've got plenty of income coming down the road? All those things need to be factored in.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
so before the financial planner, would I still roll over the money?
Probably. But I'm gonna put some caveats on that. What happens is that there may be an argument for bankruptcy here. And if the money is rolled over into an IRA, it is open for those dollars. Is it?
It certainly could be.
It could be open. Whereas if it's in the pension plan, it may not be. Probably not, because it's an ERISA plan.
It definitely won't be when it's low. If that's a possibility, you'd want to do that prior to receiving these dollars.
So
we've helped people through this process.
So that's why you want to sit down with a financial advisor, because Dan, when I asked the question, who do you owe money to? And you said there's a list of them, and there's a $50,000 in credit card bills, which you start with and then go down the list from there. I don't know if bankruptcy is an option, but it very well may be. And if that's the case, it's going to... Well, I don't know that. I don't know. So what I'm saying is that it's too complex to actually get into on a radio show.
Yeah.
You need to sit down with a qualified advisor. Maybe you sell one of your rental properties and pay that down. I don't know the answer. Anyway.
But yeah, in other words, there's a lot of moving parts here.
But you most certainly, if you have a shortened life expectancy, want to take a lump sum. Everything else considered, you would take the lump sum and you'd put it in your company's 401k or an IRA. It doesn't really... It depends on whether you want to pay for professional management or not. And quite frankly, I think you would benefit from professional management of those assets.
Yeah. At this stage. We strongly recommend meet with a good certified financial planner who can look through all these options for you. And you want to look at what all your options are before you make any decisions.
Before you make some decisions.
Anyway, appreciate the call, Dan. We wish you well. Yeah. So, Pat, I had saw an article last couple weeks with the title of more older Americans unretiring.
Okay, so not retiring.
Unretiring. So had been retired and gone back to work. And as financial advisors here at Hanson McLean for the last 25 plus years, we've both have personally seen a number of people retire and go back to work.
The Rolling Stones, Paul Harvey. Right? Think about these guys. Barbara Streisand. How many times have they done a final tour?
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, but when I think of people's final tours, it's the Kiss just...
What happened to Barbara Streisand? Final tour.
It's 3 years long. It's 3 years
they
long.
They may not live that long.
They'll be playing out of the back of an ambulance. But they're...
Kiss.
That's who people are. You're not talking about rock stars.
I'm going
to make
a Rolling Stone.
I mean, there's guys like,
you look at some of them, it's like, why bother taking care of yourself? Because look at these guys. They're still at it.
I know. You're like, you are a very poor example. You should have died young.
All right. So, but we've clearly seen a lot of people have gone back into the workplace. This was a, where was this out of? CBS News did this story on this. They had surveyed more than 1,000 people who are unretired, some that had already retired and went back to work in the United States and Canada. 44% of them said the reason they went back to work is to fight boredom. They wanted something to do. 44%.
Yes.
That's the second cause. The number one, unfortunately, was for the money.
And how big was that?
Well, it was more than...
Well, it could be both, though, right? You could go back because you're bored and because you want more money, or you need more money.
Or you don't have enough, because you have such little money, you're bored because you can't afford to do anything.
Yes.
I mean, there's...
Yeah, yes.
You might have enough to put food on the table, but you can't afford to go out to lunch with your friends or go do whatever you'd like to do. But there's also a study from Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. They said the median retirement savings, get this, the median retirement savings, these are for retirees, is only $71,000. And only 30% have accumulated $250,000 or more.
Really?
Roughly two thirds of retirees have less than
let's step back for a second.
And the number of older Americans filing for bankruptcy has surged fivefold since 1991.
How big has the population of retirees?
Not fivefold increase.
Probably
fivefold. Not even close.
But let's step back for a second, Scott. Let's just step back for a second. If I live, because we're from the West Coast, right? We're not from, you know, Fairfield, Iowa, or Duluth, Minnesota. If I retired and had my home paid for and $50,000 in a bank, and Social Security for both me and my spouse, that might be a very comfortable retirement.
Assuming you are 65 and on Medicare.
Correct. In the place.
And a home paid for.
Yeah, in the home paid
in
for.
In a low-cost environment.
In a low-cost environment.
Yeah, that's true. You might not need much.
You might not.
Yeah. Which is why some people leave the high-cost states and go say, look, I don't have that much money. I'm going to go elsewhere.
And which is a great alternative. It can be. Well, we took a call earlier with the gentleman's moving to Mexico. He wasn't even looking for low-cost state. We give this workshop, for the rest of the listeners, we give a workshop called the Future Framework, where we talk about the soft side of retirement.
Matter of fact, I think it's called Art of Retirement. And if you go on our website and look Art of Retirement, you should find a video that we've done on Art of Retirement.
And it talks about people going back to work. And I've given this in public and people come back and say, I love the idea of going back to work.
Well, it's one of the things it talks about. It's how to find purpose and meaning and stuff
in
relationships and those sort of things during retirement.
It's called Art of Retirement on our website.
But part of the things we brought this up is, look, you want to be in a position where work is an option and not an obligation. Where you have some sort of financial security that provides you some sort of freedom so you have choices in your life. It's not about so you can be self-centered and all those things. It's just so you can have choices in your life.
People are built to serve. That's the reality.
Yes, and we think that's an important thing regardless of your age and regardless of your... Anyway, we are out of time. We are here every week. We encourage you to go to HansonMcLean.com, sign up for our newsletter if you are not receiving it right now, or get our podcast there or any of our wonderful education materials. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.